2 Corinthians chapter number 5. You will stand for reverence to the Word of God. 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. For also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this day, we do thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercies to us. Help us, O Lord, to draw nigh to you as you draw nigh to us. I pray your will be done in our hearts and in our homes and here in your house today, Lord. Thank you for the good service thus far. Thank you for the good singing, the good testimonies, the good spirit we feel in the house. I pray to God that you'd be honored and glorified thereby. Now, Lord, it's fallen my lot to try to preach, Lord, and I'm quite aware of the fact that I'm not much. Lord, would you help me this morning to preach me above my ability this morning. Make a preacher out of me, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you'd get this message in our hearts to God and help us, oh Lord, to live our lives in such a way that would be pleasing and honoring to you, to God, I pray today. I pray, Lord, for those that may be here today that's lost without you. They don't know you in the free pardon of sin. Lord, I pray Holy Ghost conviction on that soul and contrite it, Lord, and convert it into this thing of Christianity. Lord, I pray this day, Lord, have your way around here. Be with us and help us now, O Lord. Pour out a fresh horn of oil upon us this day, we do pray. And Lord, help us to have boldness to say what needs to be said this morning. But Lord, help us to have the compassion, mercy to keep our mouth shut about what we shouldn't say. And Lord, we do love you with all our heart. And we love you with all our soul. And we love you with all our mind. In Jesus' sweet, loving, holy name we pray. Thy precious holy will be done, Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. We read here, and we read about a desire to be out of this flesh and in the body that God has laid up for us in the future, amen. And I'm looking forward to that day. No burdens, no pains, no death, no disappointments. No, I just took my hearing aids out, no hearing aids, amen. I just put my glasses on, no seeing aids, amen. Brother Dan's walking with a walking aid, amen. And we won't have all these things. Some of you having to take medicines and do this and that to try to age you along in life. But thank God one day we'll be in a body that we won't feel out pains and burdens anymore, amen. We won't have to worry about going to make a doctor's appointment or what they're going to do, amen. And I like all that, amen. And it seems like as the days go on, I think more about it, and I'm looking more forward to hearing the Lord speak out of heaven and say, "Come up hither," amen. I'm looking forward to that day, amen. But I want to say this, Many think as soon as the rapture takes place, and he does call us, that they're going to be issued a harp and a halo and be and a new pair of wings and stationed on a cloud somewhere to float around heaven and strum on a harp for eternity. I'm going ahead and tell you, this was junk that. That ain't true. That ain't got no truth about it whatsoever. Amen. Problem is, one preacher said this one time. He said, all these people think they got halos. They can't get them on, getting them over the horns on their head. Amen. And so we better be careful about all that. But down in the last verse I read unto you, he said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I want to preach, if God will be my help this morning, on the judgment of the saints. The judgment of the saints. I say this morning, the good news is we will have a new body. Thank God for that. The good news is we will have a new home. Thank God for that. The good news is there will be a new atmosphere, a sinless atmosphere. Thank God for that. There'll be new surroundings. I'm glad of that, and I know my wife's glad of it. She gets, I know sometimes she gets aggravated when I see such junk going on in this world. I just sort of get aggravated. And I'll just sigh or say something. And she said, I know. But I get so aggravated living in this old sinful world, what we see going on. Brother Dan had it right, talking this morning about his friends leaving them. And I guess what gets me more than anything is what I see going on in what's supposed to be churches anymore, and supposed to be the religious circle, and some of the wickedness I see going on. And all for the name of Christ. They say, "Oh, we're doing it for the Lord. We're doing it for this purpose. We're doing it for Him." Yeah. Also, that crowd over there in Matthew, he said, "Did we not prophesy in thy name, and cast out devils in thy name, done great mighty works in thy name?" But what did the Lord say? He said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." You see, there's a lot of things being done in God's name that He ain't got no part of. Amen. But we are going to face one day our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as judge. We must go to the judgment seat of Christ before we ever really get to enjoy heaven. Amen. He's going to wipe away the tears one day, and I believe that ain't until after the judgment seat. I believe we'll have tears at the judgment seat. Since we're going to stand before the judgment, Christ as our judge, amen. And how good that goes for us depends on how we behave here on this earth after salvation. Now, what you've done before salvation ain't got nothing to do with the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking about after after your salvation. Let's look for a little few minutes at this judgment seat of Christ. Number one, who's going to participate in it? Only those that are saved by the grace of God. If you're here and you're lost, you ain't going to have to worry about the judgment seat unless you get saved. But, there's a whole lot worse judgment you'll stand before God with. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. We find that in Revelation 20, verse number 11, where he says this. He says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's the sinner's judgment. But I want to preach to us saints this morning about our judgment. Amen. Number one, it'll be universal. It won't just be for a select few of Christians. It'll be for all Christians. He said all. He said, for we must all stand. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's universal. Every true blood-bought saint of God will stand before the Lord one day at the judgment seat of Christ. Whether great or small, whether known or unknown, whether a member of a big church or a little church, amen, whether in church or out of church, or saved by the grace of God, will stand before Christ one day and give account of the deeds done in this body. I'm looking forward to heaven, but I'm dreading the judgment seat. I don't know about you. I'm dreading it. Not that I've got really anything to hide, but I'm saying I'm a dreading. I could have done a lot better than I have thus far. And you could have had too. Amen. Bible said in Romans 14 and 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'll give account of my sins. You'll give account of your sins. Amen. And not only will it be universal, but it will be unavoidable. Must, he said. He said there, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to have to. We have to. You can't get out of it, amen. You can't get a lawyer. You can't settle out of court on this judgment, amen. Now you can settle out of court when it comes to the judgment of the great white throne, amen. You can get saved and settle out of court and not have to go to court for that one. But this judgment, see, you can't settle out of court with, amen. There'll be no defense allowed at the judgment seat. Every deed will be exposed, amen. Many Christians live their lives today in such a way that they think they'll never get account of the way they're living their lives. That's why we see so much looseness today in the religious realm. And those that claim to be saved, and maybe some of them may be saved, no doubt. No doubt, I know folks sitting at the house today or somewhere besides church that are saved, living wickedly, living loose, living out of the fear of God. One-time walk with God. They're going to give account of that one day. It may not be upon this earth, but they will give account one day. You and I give account of how we live. It's unavoidable. It's undeniable. Amen. I mean, every deed will be exposed. And we'll give account for it in front of all the saints of God. God keeps perfect records. It won't be thrown out of court because of some technicality. It won't be thrown out of the court. God's got perfect records and you can't deny it. Amen. He keeps perfect records. He said in Matthew 12 and 36, He said, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. May I remind you that God knows all, God sees all, God hears all. And He tells us in Hebrews 4 and 13, He said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in this sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He sees every deed that we do. He knows every thought we have. That blows my mind. It blows my mind, this little instrument right here. And some of y'all got one of them smartphones. I can't hardly use a dumb phone, much less a smartphone. My wife's got one of them smart ones. It goes to ringing. I just look at it stupid because I can't use the crazy thing. Every time I pick it up, she has to tell me what to do. And I normally don't do it right. But that she's got, like she can get on and look at all internet and everything else on that thing. And you know, it's amazing to me. When I was a kid, I used to watch some of those cartoons and we thought, wow, a phone that you could carry in your pocket. Wow, a phone that you could take pictures with. Wow, a phone that you could type on and send messages. And here it is. And much more. But what about God's got such a brain on Him that He remembers every idle word and tell you when you said it, how you said it, where you said it, who you was with when you said it. Every wicked deed, everything we've done, good or bad, He knows about it. He keeps perfect records. He sees all. He knows all. He hears all. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Also said in Proverbs 15 and 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and good. So God sees. They tell us today, I understand that you can't hardly go anywhere what you ain't being filmed on a video recorder somewhere. I mean, you go in stores. I had a problem in our store with this certain lady. I couldn't prove 100% that she was a shoplifting. I'd see her be walking around with things, and I halfway called her one time, and she'd come up to buy a purse, and I failed open it. It felt like I had something in it. I opened it up, and there's a bunch of stuff in there. She said, "I didn't put that in there." So my hands was tied. I couldn't say nothing. I said, "Well, I didn't say you did." I said, "I just had to put a bunch of new cameras back here. We're having shoplifting trouble." She ain't been back in the store since, as far as I know, you. And I think she's a robbing this quite often. I ain't seen her since then. I think that scared her off. But you see, I'm telling you, God's got a recorder. It goes everywhere. He's got a recorder that records it in the pitchiest, darkest night. He's got a recorder that sees all, hears all, and He knows all. Amen. Thank God today. I say, listen to me. We're going to be judged for the good or the bad that we do. Amen. What's the purpose of this? Well, I'll say, sir, first of all, the purpose of the judgment seat ain't to find out whether you're saved or lost. It ain't salvation. You wouldn't be there if you was lost. Amen. That salvation was forever taken care of the moment of conversion. Nothing can change that, my friend. Forever, if you're truly born again, if you're saved, you can't change that. You couldn't go to hell if you wanted to, if you're really saved. Because if you're really saved, you ain't going to want to go to hell. Amen. But I said you couldn't if you wanted to. And may I say that this judgment ain't for sin. That was judged back on Calvary, as we were singing about earlier. Sin was judged upon Christ at Calvary for those who get saved. Now, for those who don't never get saved, they'll be judged in hell and a lake of fire for eternity. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, some people call this, and it's all right to call it that, instead of calling it the judgment seat of Christ, they say the Bema seat. Now, the Bema seat was a raised platform, usually in the cities back in Paul's day. That raised platform, that's where they made announcements at. They didn't have Fox News to turn on and listen to the news. They made announcements out there. Hey, listen to me. They made judgments out there on that Bema seat. They gave accommodations, or commendations, I guess you would say, at the Bema seat. There was rebuke come from that seat. There was reward come from that seat. May I say, they will be rewards at the judgment seat. They will be rewards. And I'm not quite sure how they all fit in. And I just don't know enough, and I don't know if anybody really does or not. There's a lot of things preached and read and wrote today that I just sometimes have a hard time figuring it out, where they come up with it at in the Scriptures. But they are an incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And it's awarded for the faithfulness to the Lord. There is a crown of life. We find that in James 1 and 12. And this is for the person who endures or don't yield to temptation and remain faithful to God. They keep on keeping on, if you will. Amen. Then there's a crown of rejoicing. And I'm not sure about all that on that. Then there's a crown of righteousness, my friend. And then there's a crown of glory. Of course, we know the crown of glory is to be given to pastors who stayed faithful to the Lord. But the other four, any Christian can have. Amen. I'm not sure when those will be handed out, but it very well may be that they're handed out at the judgment seat as a reward. I want to say this morning, my friend, there's many, not just rewards, but there's many rebukes at the judgment seat. Our motives, why have we done what we've done? Amen. Now, you ladies have got a dinner prepared for next week. If you just prepare because the preacher said to do it and not because you give God the glory for doing it, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're to do it because you love God and His work and His church. You ought not do it for a dread. You ought to be happy to do it. Amen. The motive will be judged for what you do for the Lord. Amen. Not only the motive, but the methods, how you do it. Did you do it lined up with the Word of God?
The attitude, the activities, they'll all be brought to light. The process God will use is found, my friend, over here in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. And I'm going to read it to you. 1 Corinthians 3 and 10 said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay, which is laid, which is Christ, is Jesus Christ. He said, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble, he said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You understand, our works are going to be, our deeds are going to be judged by fire. Is your deeds wood, hay, or stubble? Are your deeds gold, silver, and precious stones? You see, gold, silver, and precious stones, they represent valuable things. They represent permanent things, if you will. You take gold or silver and put it in a furnace of fire, it just refines, it gets the impurities out. But you put wood, hay, and stubble in the fire, and he ain't nothing but ashes left. What's your deeds today? I ain't asking if you saved or lost. I'm asking you what you're doing with the life that God's given you to live, amen, for him. You see, gold, silver, and precious stones, it requires a sacrifice. It requires work. Wood, hay, and stubble are cheap things, temporary things, if you will. That's why he said in the Scripture, lay up not treasures upon earth where thieves break through and steal, rust and moths destroy, but lay up treasures in heaven where the thieves can't get to it, amen. Those gold and silver and precious stones, amen. I thank God today. Hey, listen to me. Wood, hay, and stubble, that's easy to come by. Oh, yeah, it's easy on the flesh to get saved and sit down and do nothing, just swim like the world. Any old fish, dead fish, can float downstream, but it takes a live fish to swim upstream. Amen. Lot is one of the greatest pictures of this I see in the Scriptures. Lot's a perfect picture of the believer who's allowed loose living to take everything that he possesses. Think about it. Lot was saved. And he was saved from fire. Remember our Scripture said a while ago, saved as yet by fire? Just barely. Lot lost everything he had. He lost most of his family. And what little bit did get out caused him to get in sin even more. Now he can't blame them. He got drunk. And he gave in. He lost his reputation. He lost his testimony. Look at what all Lot lost. And the embarrassment. I mean, the last time we find Lot in the Scripture, he's laying in a cave committing incest with his son, with his two daughters. And birthed in some of the greatest enemies of the children of Israel when he did. So we see here, he's saved, but yet as by fire. I wouldn't call him saved if it didn't mention in the New Testament that he vexed his righteous soul. I'd say he's in hell if it wasn't for that Scripture. But God's got the record, does he not? God's got the record. He lost everything, but him himself was saved. I don't know about you, my friend, but I ain't interested in losing everything. I'm going to stand there before y'all. You're going to stand there before me and before each other and before Christ. We're all going to be there. There'll be rewards, there'll be rebukes, but there'll also be reaping. I didn't say weeping. There'll be that too. Reaping. Bible said in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap. He says,
they'll be reaping at the judgment seat, or the bema seat, whatever you want to call it.
Are you sowing to the flesh? Are you sowing to the Spirit? He said, if we sow to the flesh,
my friend, if we sow to the flesh, we're going to have loss, corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll have life everlasting. In other words, we're going to be happier. It's going to be a lot better. Amen.
The things that we think hidden upon this earth and covered up, we think we've got them hidden, we think we've got them covered, but God knows all about them. Hey, God knows if we wronged somebody and ain't made it right with them. God knows if we lied about somebody and ain't made it right, or lied to somebody and not made it right. He knows all that we're doing
and how that we need to get it right with one another. God will bring all things to light for the saved at the judgment seat of Christ. But not only will there be rewards and rebukes and reaping, there'll be revelation. We'll be seen for what we really are. Oh, it's easy to get in the morning, put a suit of clothes on, come through that door back there smiling and looking like, boy, there's some more saint. Look at there. Boy, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, thank God I went fishing. Praise the Lord, I caught a big fish. Thank God for that. I mean, this sounds real spiritual.
But what are we really down inside?
What are we really living like outside of the house of God and around others? You see, there'll be a revelation. You might pull the wool over my eyes, and you might pull the wool over everybody else's eyes on this earth, but you won't pull the wool over everybody's eyes at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be out in the open. It ain't going to be all that much fun, but I'd rather be there in the debate of the great white throne judgment, hadn't you? I'd much rather be at the judgment seat.
You see, the judgment seat of Christ, you could compare it to a commencement exercise. Certainly there'll be sadness and regrets that you didn't work any harder than you did. But oh, the victory down in your heart that you're there and you've graduated to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank God for that.
You say, I don't want to paint it so glim that you dread going, although I dread and you do too, to the point that we overdo the sorrow aspect and make heaven look like hell, my friend.
But listen, we don't need to underplay the sorrow aspect to say that faithfulness don't mean anything and living clean don't mean anything neither.
Oh, I say today, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ that are saved by the grace of God. Yeah, there'll be rebukes. There'll be regrets. There'll be refusings. There'll be rebukes and revelations. My friend, and reaping. Well, preacher, what are we going to do? We need to prepare for that day. We need to prepare for that day. When is it, preacher? I don't know. I think it's pretty soon, no Messiah. You see, how can we prepare, preacher? Well, number one, make sure you're truly a child of God. Make sure that you didn't just go through some little watered-down repeat-after-me prayer sign, some little card, wasn't no conviction around nowhere, wasn't no repentance involved in it. You decided one day, well, I'll just believe and say, hey, listen, repentance and sorrow is involved in this thing of salvation. It ain't easy to die out to ourselves. It ain't easy to give our lives over to the Lord and let Him run it, not us run it anymore. So we must make sure that we're really saved by the grace of God. As bad as I dread the judgment seat, and I've tried to live clean, but I ain't perfect by no means, and you ain't neither. But as bad as I dread it, I'd rather stand there and go through that, and yes, regrets and embarrassment, than to stand and hear Him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.
We need, how, preacher, how? Well, like I said, number one, make sure you say, how. Another way is, make sure you judge yourself. Make sure you judge yourself. You know you better than anybody does. I know me better than anybody. My mom and dad know me real well. My wife probably knows me a little more than they do nowadays, because I've been with them, her longer than I've been with them, as far as living together.
Y'all going to find that out down the road too. Amen.
Hey, I say, but judge yourself.
But they, all three of them, as much as I love them, as much as they know me, they don't know me like I know me. And they don't know me like God knows me. God knows more about me than I know about me. What about that? He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. You see, we need to judge. He said in 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We'll judge ourselves and clean up in ourselves, and not wait. Not wait till it comes out in the open. I mean, get it settled. Amen. Thank God. I mean, Psalms 139:23 said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Boy, that's a good prayer to pray. That's good grounds of getting things cleaned up inside of our own heart. There's several areas that we need to practice self-judgment. Number one is in our motives. Why do we do what we do? Do we come to church because somebody, we're afraid the preacher's going to call and say, why wasn't you there? Do we pay our tithes because that we're afraid somebody say, well, he's not paying his tithes? Or do we do it because we love God? Are we doing it because the Lord's laid it on our heart? He's told us in His Word of God, amen, what to do. Hey, why are we doing what we do? He said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What you do you do it for His glory? Amen. Thank God. I don't care what you do. Will you prepare a meal? Will you sweep the floor in the church? Will you clean the toilet bowls? Will you cut the grass? Will you pick up trash outside? Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Do it for His glory, not for your glory, not for our glory, but for the glory of God. So what is your motive? If you do it, if you ain't doing it for His glory, it'll be burned up anyhow. So you just well start doing it for His glory. Amen. What about our methods? Not only our motives, but what about our methods? How do we do what we do? Matthew 5:16 said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Or do we do it so that we can get glorified? Well, brother so-and-so, boy, he's a fine fella. I mean, and I believe we ought to encourage one another. Our sister so-and-so, she's a fine woman. And just pat on the back and just brag on what they're doing. Listen, we're supposed to be doing it for His glory. But when I listen to mainstream religious media today and the talk, it's like they're doing it for themselves. Let's do it for His glory. Let's do it for His honor. That's why if we're not doing it for His glory and honor, it's going to be burned up anyhow, amen. It ain't going to help us. If others don't see Christ in us and our works, it'll be burned up. We should look at everything that we do and ask ourselves, and God, amen, is this pleasing to the Lord what I'm doing? Hey, what kind of message is this sending out? Hey, listen, is this going to bring condemnation on the name of Christ? Or is this going to bring glory to the name of Christ? Oh, I see so much working in the funeral industry. I see so many die, wicked, die, and then some preacher gets up and tries to smooth everything over and make everybody feel real good and talk of how they got saved back when they was 4 or 5 years old and they just went away from God and they're in heaven now. What a black eye to the glory of God that kind of stuff is. Amen. Say, preacher, I wouldn't say that. I guess that's why he called me to preach and not you up here. Amen. But I say this morning, listen to me. We must live our lives in such a way that brings glory to the darling Son of Jesus Christ. Not doing it under a bunch of rules or laws, but doing it because it pleases Him. It honors Him. Amen. When we say certain things, or we go certain places, or we wear certain things, or whatever we do, would it bring a black eye to the church? Would it bring a black eye to Christ? Would He be pleased with it? Years ago, there was a fad that went around, and everybody was wearing necklaces and bracelets that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? I'm going to say this. I don't know where all that started, but think about what would He do? Would He do what you're doing? Would He dress like you're dressing? Would He go the places you're going? Think about it. Think about it. What would Jesus do? Or if we'd live our lives to match up with that, I believe we could be a whole lot more confident when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And they are a possible way of being confident when we get there. You see, we need to judge ourselves in our motives. We need to judge ourselves in our methods. We need to judge ourselves in our manner of life. Every activity must be laid alongside the Word of God. This is the plumb line. This is the standard. It ain't Vince and Galloway's standard. It's the Word of God. It's old King James Bible. That's the standard. Not my standards. If you do what you do just because I've preached it, not because it's in the Word of God, you're doing it for the wrong reason anyhow. You ought to do it because it's in the Word of God. Amen. Thank God today. It is the plumb line. It is the standard. Lay it along the side of the Word of God. If it's crooked beside the Word of God, it ain't right. But if it's straight with the Word of God, it's right. It's as simple as that. The Word of God is like a plumb line. If we're out of line, it'll show it. If we're out of line, we'll lose reward. If we're out of line, we'll suffer loss. Our works will be burned up. But if we're in line, we'll receive reward. And it'll be refined. And it'll be pleasing to God. Are you in line or out of line with the Word of God today? Ask yourself that question. 1 John 2:28 said, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." I don't want to be ashamed before Him. How about you? I don't want to be ashamed before Him. I don't know about you, but I ain't interested in all my thoughts being put up on a screen somewhere and everybody seeing that. How about you? Anybody in here so brazen to raise your hand and say, "Oh, it wouldn't bother me a bit." No. We've got things in us that we need to get out of us. And we've got a Word of God right here that we need to get in us. Because we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And we're going to give account. Is it going to be gold, silver, precious stones? Or is it going to be wood, hay, or stubble? Everybody stand. "Now, little children, abide in Him." Abide in His standards. Abide in His Word. Amen. How do we prepare? Through the Word of God. Studying it and applying our lives to the Word of God. How do we prepare? By praying and asking God to search us and show us where we're wrong at and give us strength to correct those areas. How do we prepare? By listening to the Holy Spirit when He leads and guides. How do we prepare? By listening to Bible preaching and not getting upset with it, not just listening, but applying it to our lives and be doers of the Word and not hearers only. That's how we prepare for the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand there one day if you're saved by the grace of God. And thank God I'm a going there. I dread it because I'm not perfect. You ain't neither. We're all in the same flesh. I make mistakes. You do too. Ain't no sense in coming up here and telling me. I heard someone say, "I ain't sinned in 30 years. They just did because they lied." Amen. Amen. Now, I ain't talking about going out and getting drunk and running around on your wife or your husband or killing somebody. I ain't talking about all that. I'm just talking about things that ain't pleasing to God. Amen. Of course, those things ain't needed. "Abide in Him that when He appear, we may have confidence." Confidence. "And not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Confidence. Confidence. What's confidence? It's a trust. It's a trust issue. I'm going to show you what confidence is. I didn't go out there and look under that thing. I just jumped up and landed on it. Now, if it had failed, I'd have been in bad shape, wouldn't I? But I got confidence it would hold me, and I ain't even looked at it in who knows how long. I've got confidence it'll take care of me. Hallelujah today! I got confidence if we'll live for Him, we'll have confidence at the judgment seat. Won't have to be embarrassed about it. Thank God. Hallelujah today. Bless His holy name. He's good to us, ain't He, church? He's good to us. Let's live for Him. He loves us, we love Him, and we need to live for Him. Amen.